B-Pod Studios.
Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners, all the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot, it's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, mic's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to a Monday where a lot of folks are off, Martin Luther King Day. So if you're lounging around today and you're watching us on television, welcome. And we'll kick around some sports conversation. A lot of things to talk about today, actually, on a Monday here as we broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. All right, let's talk first about the playoffs. And, you know, I was looking at Twitter after the Patriots won the game, and I'm thinking, how in the world can anybody still be petty enough to dislike the greatness that is Tom Brady? I just don't understand it. I know you don't like the Patriots. You don't like Brady for whatever reason. I don't know. He's too perfect. He's got a model wife. He wears Uggs. Whatever the frick your reasons are, he is the best who ever played the game. And if you did not come to that conclusion after watching that game, that playoff game, then I feel sorry for you. Then you are trapped by this ice casing of hate that you're never going to be get out of it. And I started to think, in my lifetime, I have been fortunate enough, and I know a lot of people who are around my age have been also fortunate enough to witness the greatest players to ever play their sport. And I'm talking about Tom Brady, who is the best quarterback ever. Not even a question. Don't even give me Joe Montana, who was great, but he's 30,000 yards less than what Brady is. Brady has played in 9 Super Bowls. Don't give me the Montana argument anymore. Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, Muhammad Ali, Tiger Woods. We have witnessed the best of the best in this particular era of sports. Now, I'm going to get fought on the Tom Brady today.
He's a cheater. He's been bad. And Patriots cheat. And
it's about time you all grew up. All right? I tell you right now, I couldn't believe the stuff I was reading. He's the luckiest quarterback. He's lucky? He converted 4 third downs, 3 of them 3rd and 10 on that drive, the game-winning drive that wins them a spot in the Super Bowl. Yeah, he's lucky. He's a lucky quarterback. So we'll kick that around a little bit. And, of course, we got to kick around this story that hit today, which is very controversial. And the story was in the Philly Voice. And it was written by a guy named Joe Santoliquito, who I know very well. I'm not here to pass judgment on the story, but I will kind of, like, add little tidbits on why a story like this is so dangerous to publish. Now, it was published by the Philly Voice. I don't know from the Philly Voice. I'm sorry, I don't. I don't really pay attention to the Philly Voice. I know it was created to be a rival Philly.com. I don't know their history of hiring reporters. I don't know how stringent their editors are. But when you write a story like this, and this actually story kind of buries the lead. I mean, if you got a story like this, it should be in the lead. You have to read like several paragraphs to find out what they're actually talking about. And what they're basically saying, as that Wentz is a cancer. Carson Wentz is a cancer within the locker room. And I'll just read what they have to say here, and you can tell me whether you find this story irresponsible or not. Now, I don't know who the sources were, and I'm not a guy in a position to question anybody's sources. If he developed sources, whether they be anonymous or not, that indicated this, then I guess you got to roll with the story. But as an editor, with a story like this, and my reporter comes to me with this kind of story, okay, write down every one of your sources. I know you don't like to do that. I know your reporter like to protect your sources. But before I run this story, you got to tell me every guy who was a source to this story, because I just can't go publish. And that's what the problem of publishing today is. The social media world of publishing just publishes stuff. And there's no longer a checks and balance. So basically the story says, Over the past 2 months, Philly Voice spoke with more than a half dozen players. That could be seven. There's 53 on the team. Plus other sources close to the team who all requested to remain anonymous, fearing repercussions given Wentz's power within the organization. And what they told us paints a somewhat different picture of the Eagles' locker room and their franchise quarterback than one might expect. The story goes on to say that Mike Groh is a good coach who was, quote, bullied by Wentz, and that the problem with the offense doesn't belong to Groh, it belongs to Wentz. The story says that the true Wentz is complicated, with sources describing him as selfish, uncompromising, egotistical, one who plays favorites and doesn't like to be questioned, one who needs to practice what he preaches and fails to take accountability. Numerous sources confirmed that Wentz was verbally attacked by a highly respected teammate for not being a team guy. And here's the ultimate damning quote. Carson Wentz's biggest enemy is Carson Wentz, said one source. He's had his ass kissed his whole life and sometimes act like he's won 10 Super Bowls when he hasn't played in, let alone won, a playoff game yet. You don't have to be a brain surgeon or a football expert to see how differently this team plays and reacts with one guy as opposed to the other. You know what a story like this does? It gives life to the Folesian Society. All the Folesian Society is reading this story, and they're going like this.
How's everyone doing?
Now, this is a very damning story. And when you said you spoke with more than a half a dozen players, plus sources close to the team, you need to nail it down a little harder than just publish a story like this. Now, I know that they're probably trying to publish a story to be splashy, to get their name on the map, because I don't think the Philly Voice is, frankly, on the map. But I'm not sure that you can run a story like this with only sources from a half a dozen players when main players on the team have then come out to say it's total BS. Guys like Fletcher Cox, guys like Lane Johnson, guys like Brandon Brooks. You can talk to those guys. See, when you run a story like this, you better talk to the big guys in the squad if they can verify this or not. And like I said, I'm not here to question the guy's sources. If he's got sources, he's got sources. If he stands solidly behind the story, he stands solidly behind the story. But if you're an editor, before this story sees the light of day, you better go through hoops to determine whether it's true or not. That's all I'm saying. So we'll talk about it. We'll also talk about the Sixers today and their crippling loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder and what happened in the end of that game, where a lot of people are blaming Ben Simmons, and rightfully so, because Ben Simmons kind of quit on the play. You know, last play of the game, he runs Jimmy Butler into a double team. But my problem is, there's no variations off the play. When you design a play, and it's going to go to Jimmy Butler, and the play is for a handoff from Ben Simmons, nobody's playing Ben Simmons once he hands the ball off. So if that double team is there, you got to have a plan B, which I thought might be J.J. Redick at the foul line instead of buried in the corner, where Butler could have maybe split a double team, got it to J.J. Redick for a 15-footer that wins the game. That didn't happen. I got a lot of problems with that play. It steamed me. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. We're live. Monday. We're working on Martin Luther King Day. We're back with your calls after this.
Fanatic Sports Update. update.
Another Brady Bowl. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Valentine's Day is almost here. Get your girlfriend or wife a gift she will be proud to wear. Go to Family and Company Jewelers on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey. Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination. The New England Patriots will head back to the Super Bowl for the fourth time in 5 years after beating the Chiefs last night, 37-31. They'll face the Rams, who beat the Saints 26-23. Sixers fell to the Thunder on Saturday, 117-115. They'll face the Rockets tonight at 8. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic. Our Sixers in 60 show will lead you into the game at 7. And Keith Pompey checks it with Mike today at 3. Flyers won their third in a row on Saturday, beating the Canadians 5-2. The team is now on their bye. They'll take the ice again next Monday against the Jets at home. You're so close to finishing the day. Keep going with P3 Portable Protein Pack. It's a combination of meat, cheese, and nuts. Grab the more interesting way to get your protein with P3. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show on 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Yeah, one other thing on this story, because a lot of people are saying, well, it can't be anonymous, can't use anonymous sources. You can use anonymous sources anytime you want. As long as they're good sources, as long as they're plentiful sources, as long as they might be the majority. But you can't take 10 people and make a declaration that Carson Wentz is a cancer in the locker room. You just can't do that. And some of the great stories in history have been broken by anonymous sources. Took down a corrupt presidency with anonymous sources, for crying out loud, in this country. So the anonymous sources aren't the problem. It's if you trust the sources. And what I'm saying to you is that story 15 years ago would never get in a newspaper. Never. It gets in social media now because it's all about competition. Everybody has a social media account. And everybody's a news agency. And everybody wants to be about everybody else. So they throw it in and there are no ramifications for stuff like this. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm not saying what's true or false. My point is you can't tell me that you can't rely on Philly Voice spoke with a half a dozen players. What, seriously? A half a dozen players? That's enough. It's not enough. All right, let's go to the phone. Steve in Delaware, you're on 97.5. Oh, hold on a second, Steve. Hold on. I got to give you the sponsor for the 2 o'clock hour and start the Twitter poll because I'm all jacked up. 2 o'clock hours brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit their new location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today. So let's start the Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. From snowblowers to generators and small engines, every part for every machine in stock when you need it. Moyer will keep you going this winter. Natalie.
Today's poll, based on that report, over 1,600 votes early. Do you believe the report on Carson Wentz that states he is selfish and a bully? Only 11% saying yes, 89% saying no.
All right. Like I'm saying, I don't know if it's true or not. I'm not coming out saying it's a BS story. I'm merely looking at the methodology of creating the story. I don't know who his sources were. My sense is that 6 players and a couple of other dudes is not enough to write a story like this. Let's go to Steve in Delaware. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, what's going on, Mikey?
What's going on, Steve?
I called in because I wanted to address, and it's kind of ties in with this story, with a lot of this the Folesites, as I call them.
Mm-hmm.
I think as far as that story, where was that story when Carson Wentz was on his MVP run? I'm trying to figure out where these sources are coming from, and it's turned out to seem, it's like there's this big conspiracy to get Carson Wentz out. Carson Wentz being a cancer to this team. If it weren't for him, would there be a Super Bowl?
Well, interesting that you say that, because deeper in the story, let me just read this to you. Have you read the story?
No, I'm just trying to
Let me just read a couple sentences here, because it plays into your point. According to multiple sources, Wentz tended to, quote, complicate the offense. He didn't let it come organically, as Foles did. According to one source, Wentz could complicate 2+2. Reich and DeFilippo stressed to Wentz the importance of sticking with the play that was called. A completed pass was there waiting. Now, is it me? Or was I imagining the fact that last year he was playing at an MVP pace and winning 11 of 13 games? Did DeFilippo and Reich have a problem with that success?
That's what I don't understand. That's why I can't. It's hard for me to fathom this story. Is because it conflicts with what happened last year. I mean, because there were plays that Carson Wentz had to kill out of because they were just simply bad plays. And to say that Carson Wentz is the reason why the offense was struggling this year, that's bull. Mike Groh was terrible this year. Play calling, there was no run game while Carson Wentz was playing. And if you look at his passer rating, which was 98.6, come off an MCL and an ACL injury.
I agree, Steve. It's a great call. I agree with you. I mean, this story is making it seem like DeFilippo and Reich are going out, drowning themselves in a bottle of Jack Daniels. Oh, this freaking guy won't listen. But they won 11 to 13. Where do you reconcile that? Oh, he's such a hardhead. He won't do what he wants to do. They won 11 to 13. The guy's out on an MVP pace. I like to be exasperated like that if I was an offensive coordinator. Greg in Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's going on, Greg?
I want to kind of switch topics a little bit. I want to talk about the call, the non-call that everybody's talking about last night in the Saints and the Rams.
The non-pass interference call, yeah.
All right, this is my thing. This is why I stopped betting football.
Mm-hmm.
Because blown calls are just a part of the problem, man. Football players cheat on every play. They push. They hold, they grab on every play. You can call pass interference on either the offense or the defense.
Yeah, it's hard. It's like the NBA. It's hard. Everything you can call foul on every play in the NBA.
Yeah, it's like the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. Everybody just ignores it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, there's no question. What's the point? What are you going to do about it? That's what it is. Part of the game.
At this point, you got to go to instant replay.
Greg. See, this is where we go. We depart. All right, because the players ultimately decide the game. People are so enamored with this official thing that you've gotten obsessed with it, and you're thinking you're giving it more credit than it's worth. Now let's take yesterday's game. Let me make a point here. Let's take yesterday's game. That call is not made, right? What was the result? The New Orleans Saints took the lead with a field goal. Am I right?
Yeah.
All right. So who ultimately had control of the game at that point?
The Saints had the ball last.
Right. The Saints defense ultimately had control of that game at that point because the Rams had to come down the field and tie the game. Am I right?
You're right.
All right. How is that the official's fault?
It's not the official's fault. But and then again, they didn't call the face mask.
They're not going to call a lot of calls. They're going to miss a lot of calls. And they're all going to even out. For all the hosing that people thought that yesterday, it happened to the poor Chiefs. There were then four straight plays that went against the New England Patriots. Four. So what happened? Who had to overcome that? A great quarterback who converted four third downs on a drive. The players ultimately have control. These officials, this official thing is making me crazy. I can't take it anymore, Tyrone. I know you hate the officials too.
Yeah, of course
I
do.
You're going to not watch the Super Bowl because of the officials.
Yeah, but I agree with you. They didn't decide the game. Drew Brees, and I told all of you about Drew Brees. Choked when it mattered. I told you about him. But separate from that, they didn't decide the game. Where I'm at is, this is a $15 billion business, the NFL. They don't know how to officiate their game.
They're human beings. They're not robots. They make mistakes. The game is at a blinding breakneck speed. They're not going to see everything. You can't use replay for everything. Ultimately, the players decide the game. Stop with the officials. You give them too damn much credit.
In the last 2 minutes of the game, the challenge should be for anything you want. Up in the booth, they should be able to look at that in the last 2 minutes of the game. Mm-hmm. And you say it moves at a pace, and I agree. There should be chips in the ball so that you're able to spot it better, so you can take some of the human element out.
Here's what a good coach does in that situation where he doesn't get the pass interference. All right, let's get three. All right, we didn't get the call. Now let's stop the MFs.
Well, the biggest problem on that drive.
Let's stop them.
Right, but the biggest problem was Breeze throwing that first down pass, that quick safe throw that was supposed to move, just move the ball a little bit. He threw it too low, and it was an incompletion. Uh-huh. Breeze lost the game. It was on everybody's favorite.
Well, I didn't stop with the officials.
But I still hate them.
We stop with the officials.
They missed the golf.
What's the point of hating the officials who are using, they're using human eyeballs to see something? We're using the television that is zeroed in on the play. They're in a wide open field with a wide range of vision. Not going to get every call right.
Two officials were looking right at that play when they missed that pass interference.
Okay.
There's no excuse
they
for
missed it.
It.
No they excuse. Missed the pass interference. Did it prevent the Saints from winning the game?
No.
Did it prevent the Saints from taking the lead in the game?
No.
Well, then what's the beef?
Because I'm looking at it different than you. You're looking at it as the refs are fine. They can be as terrible as they want as long as they don't decide the game. I'm saying
they
that
didn't
I don't accept
the game.
Right. You're saying as long as they didn't, the refs can be as bad as they want.
No,
I'm saying they can't. They were terrible.
I'm saying they are trying to be the best official. You think they're actually trying to be bad officials?
No, I think they are bad, though, and that's the NFL's fault. So I can't support that. They're not full-time. They're not even full-time.
Perfect official school. Let's say that's a new major in college now. Perfect official school.
When better you come official out, school.
You're a human being who makes no mistakes if you're officiating a game.
I don't think you have to be perfect to get those calls right. The golf face mask, you can't miss that. There are certain things, you can miss a holding call.
Okay.
You can't miss that play.
They miss some calls. In the end, the calls even out.
Oh, I agree.
This is what I've been trying to tell people for years. Bad calls will even out with other bad calls. It comes out 50-50. If you would do a comparative study, it would come out 50-50. From missed calls to made calls.
I agree with that part, but that's not what bothers me. What bothers me is I don't pay to watch incompetence.
Now, let me just say this. If that pass interference was not called on the final play of the game, where it looked like a sure completion, and he was interfered with and he didn't catch the ball because he missed the pass interference, then that's an official deciding the game. That was not the case in the Saints game. The Saints had plenty of opportunities to win that game. They kicked the field goal to take the lead. They could have had their defense buckle down harder and stopped the other team from roaring down the field. They could have blocked a 57-yard field goal, which had a low trajectory. I hate giving credit. It's like I hate giving credit to the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, I want to play Dallas. Screw Dallas. Stop giving credit to meaningless people. The officials are meaningless. You're giving them credit. You're empowering them. Let's go to Chris in Williamstown. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Mike, just to mention, they could have also ran the ball and tried to run a couple. I mean, I believe it was first down, too, when that or was it not. You know, like, there were so many other things they could have did in that position, and you chose to be gutsy and go for the bland play, and you're mad because they did a missed call, like, you know, you can't.
It was a missed call. I'll give it to you. It was a missed call. I'm not disputing it. What I'm saying is that you still had control. You had the lead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm saying that, too. I say you could have ran the ball and done stuff like that, like to bleed the clock. You know, hey, like I said.
Instead, all that coach did was cry on the sidelines for 10 straight minutes instead of getting his defense jacked up to stop them.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you can't. No. And then, but in the same token, like in the NBA, there's times where like that could decide the fate of an NBA final game or a playoff game. Like, you know, you don't want it to come down to he said, she said, what if, what
dude, how are you going to avoid it?
Like,
you can't avoid it. That's why you shouldn't pay attention to it. It's part of something you can't change.
What I guess I'm getting at is how, and this is kind of tongue in cheek, how soon is it before we have people calling it from, you know, New York instead of on the court and we're not having this discussion?
Good. You want a 4-hour game? Good. You want a 4-hour game?
No, I
don't want a 4-hour game to have to go to freaking New York to find out who committed a foul or not. All right? I don't want that. There's plenty of time in a game to decide the game by yourself without the officials.
But that's how bad it is now.
All right, I'll tell you what, though. Let's get robots. We'll get robots.
One more real thing.
Right, go ahead.
On the Sixers, because I want to get to you know, and you need to talk to your boy Cuz, because, man, he even thinks that the Sixers have a chance to knock off the Rockets tonight. Are you serious? Bro, did you watch the OKC game? Have you been watching what James Harden's been doing? James Harden's on a freaking tear, and he can't be stopped, and Gordon looks good, too. Sixers are going to lose this game tonight, Mike.
Sixers are favored.
Yeah, and then that blows my mind because of the...
Oh, you better pay attention to the line, brother. Sixers are favored. Better pay attention to the line.
Yeah.
It's their favorite.
Embiid and Butler are both questionable, and the Sixers are still favored.
Sixers are favored in this game.
Yeah, I think they're going to win the game.
There's something going on with this one.
Yeah.
That's what that tells you. But they don't go to the Oklahoma City game. They should never lost that game. That was a killer.
Yeah, so let me ask you. You were into that game.
Yes, sir.
So they're down three. Westbrook fouls out. Embiid makes all three foul shots. Then the steal happens, and they go up two. Yeah. At that point, I thought for sure they're going to win that game. You had to be thinking that. Obviously, I wasn't watching with you. What was going through your head when Butler gets the steal and the layup happens?
Well, I thought the game was over, except you got a great player like Paul George who influences the outcome. Yeah. The officials didn't, did they?
No.
See, sometimes the player can actually influence the outcome. And that was a great shot.
Even though he got rubbed, right? He still did a nice recovery. That was a tough shot that PG made.
Of course it was. He's a great player. Great players will make that kind of thing. So now you got a Canada play. You counter the player who puts them in a lead with a player of your own that's foolproof. The play they ran wasn't foolproof. It ran Jimmy Butler into a double team, and there was no area for him to go. There wasn't a guy. The whole left side towards the key and the foul line was completely unoccupied. They've got Simmons on the right side by the baseline, crowding Butler, and they've got J.J. Redick tucked in the corner where he can't get in the ball anyway. It's a poorly designed play. That's what I call a one-avenue play.
Right.
Here's the one avenue. Here's what we're going to do. Ben, you're going to run it down, and Jimmy's going to be the trailer like Chris Jenkins of Villanova, and they're not going to pay attention to Jimmy. Nobody's going to guard him. They're not going to double team you, Ben, because, Ben, you're still a threat to shoot it. Right? So here it is. So this is the play we want to set. But, Jimmy, if it's double teamed, I got J.J. near the foul line. Duck the double team. Get it to him. We win. Right?
Yeah.
We win. Stymie, Lehigh Valley. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Stymie.
What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Stein?
Boycott the Super Bowl. The referees did determine the outcome of that game, and I'm going to explain it to you why. If with them not making the call, it made it 4th and 10, okay? So the Saints had to kick the field goal. If they make that call, it's 1st and goal with less than 2 minutes left. And the Saints could just chew up the clock and then kick the field goal, and the Rams don't have enough time to bring the ball down.
They could also fumble. They could also throw an interception. Here's the result, Simon. Did they take the lead?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to check. They took the lead.
They took the lead. The league is horrible with the officiating, and the fans are getting tired of this where you get... Yeah. Already, you go to the store, you buy alcohol, you buy food, you get ready for these games, and then they have these calls that are horrible.
Yeah, I think, listen to me. The horrible calls are very minuscule. The game determines the game, not the calls.
The officials shouldn't.
Why are you looking for something that you're looking for somebody to blame? And it's such a small part of the game.
What happened to the Eagles, everybody down in Philadelphia would have been crying like
and everybody would have been wrong. Everybody would have been wrong. It's a childish, easy take to blame the officials, and I'm tired of it. And I'm not going to discuss it with you. I'm sorry. There's nothing you can do about it unless you get some deity who doesn't make a mistake to officiate the game. And we'll put a white robe on him in sandals. How's that? Short of that, let's go AI. And I don't mean Allen Iverson. Let's go artificial intelligence, and we'll put robots down there who don't make mistakes. These people, you are obsessed with this official thing. I don't understand it. It's low-hanging fruit. Just let it drop and rot.
Nah, Mike. Nah, that ain't it. You are defending the indefensible.
I'm not defending anything. I'm saying it happens and there's nothing you can do about it. Ultimately, the players decide the game like the Saints-Rams. Can you say to me that the players did not decide that game?
Right, but that's not my point at all.
Well, what is your point?
I'm watching a product for about eight consecutive hours on Sunday in which the people who are arbiters of the game stink at their job. It's not that they're biased. It's that they're terrible. The NFL, no company of any kind, whether it's sports or a tech company, should allow the arbiters of their business be terrible at their jobs. They're not doing it on purpose. It's the fact that some of them, too many of them, are still part-time. They're too old to keep up with the pace. I don't want to see that.
Let me ask you this, though. How is making a guy full-time going to improve his ability not to make mistakes?
Because if he puts himself in better positions, if he gets used to the speed... You can do things during the week to get used to the speed. That's what I think it is.
What are you going to train the Ohio State track team?
You probably could hire guys.
You run with the Sixers.
Why couldn't you have fast guys do 7-on-7 stuff so they're used to quick stuff, quick motion? Why is that so crazy?
Put cone drills.
You make them do something that they can react to something quicker.
Rich Eisen running a suit alongside of them.
Also,
what do you want to do?
Also, a guy is 70 years old. He might not be quick enough to keep up with
the
play.
How many 70-year-old guys you see out there?
I see some guys that are a little old.
You see it?
All of them are young.
You pick 70 out of the air. You see 70-year-olds out there?
No, not many. 60. Okay. There's some guys in their 60s out there.
You exaggerate these official things. They have become too important in your mind. They are ruining your enjoyment of the game for no reason. Let them make bad calls because the bad calls will eventually even out. Ignore them. Troy and Margate, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Troy.
Hi, Mike. Two quick points. You with me, Mike?
No, I'm here, but I'm not with you. No, go ahead.
Okay. Two quick points. I'm a lifetime Dallas Cowboy fan, but I'll tell you what. My hand goes out to Tom Brady last night. I despise that organization. I despise him as an athlete. Okay?
Wait, hold on. We're going to have a two-way conversation. Relax. I'll give you extra time. Why do you despise him as an athlete?
I despise him as an athlete because of his persona, okay? I don't think he played an honest career his whole career. I think there's truth and validity. Well, they got fined, okay? You got the Deflategate, you got the air ball, you got the spying. So that's fact. That's on the record, not in the criminal court of law, in the administrative court, with the NFL. But I got to give my hands off to him. You could have had Merlin Olsen, Deacon Jones, Randy White, Freddie Dwyer, Carl Eller, any defensive Hall of Famer, he sliced.
So how about if we get into this century and then we'll talk? How about if we get into this century and talk about plays?
You could have had the best defensive players on the field last night.
Okay. All right.
That's number one. Number two. The New Orleans Saints game. We're beating it to a dead horse. It was a missed call. Absolutely. Nobody's debating that. Not even you. But think of it this way. Two minutes left in the game. That would have been a 1st and 10. You're hanging your hat on, well, who took the lead?
Yeah,
we know who took the lead. Don't insult anybody. Everybody knows today's Monday, okay? Uh-huh. But the question is, Peyton, they would have took the lead with like 3 seconds left if they kicked the field goal. What about if they made an incomplete pass?
They could have fumbled.
How about if they didn't pass anything?
They could have fumbled.
Oh, they could have fumbled. Uh-huh.
You're coming to a conclusion that you don't know what happened anyway.
We do know what happened.
But here's what really happened.
Here's what really happened.
They kicked the field goal and took the lead. That's what really happened. Not coulda, woulda, shoulda. What really happened was they had the lead. And all the defense had to do was stop the other team. And guess who wins? And guess who's not talking about this horrendous call where the guy should be in jail for 25 to life? Oh, it's horrendous. Put him in jail. String him up with chains. Bring in the Guantanamo Bay torturers.
You know, the Guantanamo, but they should have to speak at a press conference and explain why they messed up their call. I would tune into that.
Yeah, good. You want to hear that?
Yep.
All right. I missed the call. I'm sorry. But that's going to do it for you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
As long as you say sorry.
Let's make Tyrone happy today. And hopefully, somewhere in the wisdom of the league and the guilt that the man who didn't call it feels, because I'm sure his life was not going to go on, I think he should apologize in a press conference. This is directly to Tyrone. That would do it for you?
Nah. See, I'm with the people here, Mike. You're in the minority. I'm with the people.
No,
a man of the people.
No. You see, here's the thing. When you're against the grain, that's how people learn. Like the Copernicuses of the world.
Right, but you're teaching me incompetence is okay. I don't want to learn that. That's a bad lesson.
The majority weren't with them either.
Yeah, but you're not a visionary on this point. You're wrong. You're a flat earther on this.
The majority weren't with Gandhi either when he started.
Right, but you're a flat earther on this. You're completely wrong. Incompetence is never okay. Ever.
But you're suggesting that incompetence can be conquered. It's human behavior. In every profession, there's incompetence. Every profession, there's lawyers today that are screwing up a final oral argument to lose a case. Are they going to lose their profession because of it? No, it happens.
That's it?
There's
no repercussions?
Yeah, it's the repercussions. Maybe they'll find a guy.
All right.
I just hate giving credit to people who don't deserve credit. I hate making officials more important than they really should be. And they dominate the conversation when real men are playing football games and deciding the outcome themselves. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, 247. Listen, the lingering. This official thing is clouding the fact that we witnessed brilliance in that New England game. I'm standing there. I'm going, this guy is just ungodly the way he takes teams down the field. And, everybody in that huddle is going, nothing to worry about. This dude comes through every single time. 9 Super Bowls the guy's been to. Now, I hear people, oh, he cheated. Okay. The Deflategate, first of all, was bogus and phony because he had a better second half when they reinflated the balls than he did the first half, right? So you can just wipe that out. Now, Spygate happened once, okay? I don't know if it contributed to them beating the Eagles. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But you're talking about the all-time greatest of great. And I don't understand how people can't just marvel at the guy and his abilities. And still at his age, he's throwing laser beams in clutch spots. He never misses out on a clutch spot. You're witnessing greatness. People say, well, you brought up Tiger. You hate Tiger. But when Tiger was great, I was marveling at his greatness. I don't like Tiger for two reasons. Number one, he's done now, and I see it, and he's not as good as he's ever going to be before. And number two, he's been a cur all his life. Brady hasn't been a cur. What do you hate Brady for? Because he's tall and handsome and has a good, nice model girlfriend and does ads? Like, what? I don't understand the jealous hate for Tom Brady.
Well, some of it's Folesian. There are people who brought up yesterday on social media and on the radio.
Foles beat him?
No. Yes, but also Tom Brady, because Tom Brady went to Mahomes in the locker room and wanted to talk to him and encourage him because, like everybody else, he has eyes and he sees that Mahomes is going to be really good.
Yeah.
So he wanted to talk to him. He should have did that with Nick Foles when he lost the Super Bowl.
Oh, because he walked off the field.
And that, right, we don't know what happened after the fact with that. We don't know.
All right, he walked off the field. How anybody can sit here and after what you've witnessed with this guy And everybody who's listening here has seen his entire career, right? Even if you're young, you've seen his entire career. How could you not say this guy is the greatest of all time? It's mind-boggling to me that there isn't anybody close. I like Joe Montana, too, and I know he won 4 Super Bowls. He threw for 40,000 yards. That's 30,000 less than this guy, and he's still doing it at the top of his game.
Look at Breeze, and I know I talk about how he's number 6 for me. I'm in the top 5, but look at Breeze, who's the same age, basically, and look at in the second half those floaters and ducks that he was throwing out there. And then look what Brady's throwing in the second half in weather. Breeze is doing that in a dome.
And he's throwing it to Julian Edelman and Chris Hogan and Cordero Patterson and whoever else is on the field. And year after year, it's been the same thing. No matter who's on that field, he makes it to a stud.
The Boston Globe wrote that Gronk is just a glorified tackle at this point. He's cooked. He has to retire. When the big play comes, he throws the pass to Gronk one-on-one. Boom. Get some first and goal.
He changes the play, and he goes to a run, which results in a touchdown there. If you notice that one, kill the play. I mean, it's just, the guy's just phenomenal. And you're witnessing, just think about your life witnessing the greatest ever. In many sports, you're blessed. Jordan, Brady, Tiger, Gretzky.
I'm being a little bit of a brat about it myself.
Well, yeah, you don't like him. I don't know.
No, it's not that I don't.
You have your reasons.
I don't like him. I admit that I'm jealous and bitter because I want to be back in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I get it, but I'm just looking at the one guy. Like, you know, this Patriots success is what it is. You can handle it and go, oh, I got to tip my cap. Damn, that's hard to do what they do. Or you can be bitter and stupid and say, Patriots cheat. Come on, man. It's the greatness is greatness. Let's go to John in Delaware. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, John?
Hey, not much. I appreciate everything you said yesterday. What comes to my attention, man, I agree with Brett Favre, man. My man Foles is more Brady-esque. And how long is the Wentz society going to hold on to last year's story? Like, I hear y'all bashing all these people talking about Foles pass and all this, but this one year that Foles had, y'all gonna hold on to that for how long? Like, I don't get it.
Wentz, you mean, not Foles.
You got it.
I'm answering the story that says that DeFilippo and Reich had problems with Wentz, and I go, it must have been a really severe problem since he won 11 of his first 13 and played at an MVP level. That's all I'm answering to that.
But that being said, Mike, I hear you say your eyes tell you a lot, and my eyes told me that story kind of might be true.
How do you figure that it's true?
I'm going to tell you what my eyes told me, that the team plays better with Foles. And your logic, man, you see the same thing. I mean,
they did until the last two games of the season.
I mean,
and then it ended. But you don't see the ending, you see the others, which means you're just as guilty.
I mean,
how well did they play for him against New Orleans?
Listen, the way that it ended, that was a terrible ending for them to end like that, because I truly believe the Eagles would have been in the bowl.
Yeah, you didn't answer my question.
What's the question?
My question was, how well did they play for him against New Orleans?
Brady had 2 interceptions yesterday, too.
This isn't about Brady. You know what Brady did. I asked you a simple question. If you made the case they played better for him, well, guess what? It all ended. Against New Orleans, they didn't play better for them.
I can't argue that.
All right, well, that's all I'm trying to point out. I'm trying to give you a balanced argument here. Yeah, everything was all fun and games until you got your eye poked out against the Saints. 610-632-0975. I don't know if they play better for Foles or Wentz. I don't know. They decided they're going with Wentz. That's all I know. And this story says that Wentz is cancer. This story in the Philly Voice says Wentz is a cancer. And it cites more than a half a dozen players. That in itself is vague. Plus other sources close to the team. That's not enough for me. All right? That's not enough. Mike Bisignelli Show, back after this, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Fanatic Sports Update.
The
Patriots do it again. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community. New England Patriots will head back to the Super Bowl for the fourth time in 5 years after beating the Chiefs last night, 37-31. They'll face the Rams, who beat the Saints 26-23. Sixers fell to the Thunder on Saturday, 117-115. They'll face the Rockets tonight at 8. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic. Our Sixers in 60 show will lead you into the game at 7. Keith Pompey checks in with Mike next at 3. Flyers won their third in a row on Saturday, beating the Canadiens 5-2. Team is now on their bye. They'll take the ice again next Monday against the Jets at home. Explore graduate business degrees at Temple University's Fox School of Business. Registered for grad open house on Saturday, February 9th at fox.temple.edu/open house. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you've missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Oh.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.